Take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16, this evening. Matthew, chapter 16. I'd like to begin a little series this evening that will continue for the next couple of Sunday nights, answering the question, which church did Jesus Christ start? What church did Christ start? And is the founder thereof? And here in Matthew chapter 16 is a good place to start. In verse 15 to verse 18 it reads, "And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Which church did Jesus Christ start? Does this church still exist today? As we read of it within the pages of the New Testament? If it does still exist today, what are some main distinctive marks of this New Testament church that Jesus Christ founded? Now, in answering these questions, we'll need to have a point of reference. And if we want God's answer to these questions, and I trust we do, not man's opinions, then we'll need to turn to God's Word as our authority. The Word of God is the key to unlocking, is the key that unlocks the answers to these questions. The church that Jesus Christ founded. There's so many churches today. Surely one must belong to Jesus Christ. And I'd like for us to focus this evening on this first initial truth found within this passage of Scripture, concerning the church that Jesus Christ founded, and that is that within verses 15 to 18 of Matthew chapter 16, we have the first mention of the word church. And we see within these verses that Jesus Christ promised perpetuity, and Jesus Christ promised progression for His church. So the church that Jesus Christ founded, our Lord promised perpetuity. By perpetuity, we simply mean that the church of Jesus Christ will continue throughout the ages. And also Jesus Christ promised progression. This church would not only continue to exist from its founder, Jesus Christ, but also this church, this New Testament church, will continue to grow. So Jesus Christ promised perpetuity and progression for His church. That is the first main principle that will help us to identify the church that Jesus Christ founded. Now within this passage of Scripture here, under this main heading, I'd like for us to note four basic principles that affirm this very principle, that Jesus Christ promised perpetuity. He promised that there will always be a people that will hold to Bible doctrine. We as Bible-believing Christians do not believe in apostolic succession. We believe in doctrinal succession. In other words, we believe, as Jesus said, that my church will prevail throughout the ages. And my church will continue to grow. Now, the true church of Jesus Christ is made up of people that have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the first main principle that warrants the fact that the church that Jesus Christ founded is a church in which he promised that it will perpetuate, it will continue to exist down through the ages, and it will progress, it will continue to grow, because this church is made up of people that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Saviour. When the question was asked there in verse number 15, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter confessed there in verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Anointed One, the promised Messiah spoken of within the pages of Scripture." Simon Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ. He confessed Him as the Messiah, as the Saviour promised within the Old Testament Scriptures. Simon Peter understood the Old Testament Scriptures. He understood the principle of a Messiah promised. And when Jesus Christ asked the question, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter confessed, "Thou art the Christ, thou art the Messiah, thou art the Saviour of the world." And the church that Jesus Christ founded is a church that will continue through the ages, and it's continued to this day because it's made up of people that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Saviour. This is a birth issue, not a reformation issue, for the Bible teaches us that salvation is of the Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name among men under heaven given by whereby we must be saved. We are saved in the name of Jesus Christ. And this church that perpetuates, this church that has continued down through the ages, in other words, there has always been a people that have held true to the teachings of the Word of God, and this church has continued to grow down through the ages in spite of the heresies that prevailed, in spite of the persecution that prevailed. This church has continued because it was made up of people that, like Simon Peter of old, have confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. The true church is made up of people that have received Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. That's a glowing mark of a New Testament church. A church that Jesus said will prevail. A church that is made up of people, men, women and children, that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Saviour, as Simon Peter did of old on this occasion recorded here in Matthew chapter 16. And note there in verse number 18 that the Lord Jesus said, "Thou art Peter." The word Peter means little rock or pebble. "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock," the rock is in reference to his confession of Jesus Christ, "because you've confessed me as the Christ, you are the little pebble, I am the rock. Thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church." So the New Testament church is founded by Jesus Christ, and it's made up of people that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as the Rock of Ages. Secondly, I'd like for us to note this evening concerning this church, the true church that Jesus Christ founded, is promised perpetuity and progression, not only because it's made up of people that have received Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour, but secondly this evening, the true church is spiritual in nature. The church of Jesus Christ is spiritual in nature. It is not a man-made organization. The church that Jesus Christ established, Jesus said, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. I will build my church upon those that have confessed me as Savior, just like you had confessed. It's a church that's made up of people that have confessed Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Note then verse number 17 that Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. This church is a spiritual entity. This church that is made up of those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ is not a man-made organization. It's a spiritual entity. It is not organized through human efforts. The church that Jesus Christ founded, nor invented by man, but it is spiritual in its origin. There in Acts chapter 2 verse 47, the Bible teaches us, and the Lord added unto the church. The church of Jesus Christ is His church. The Lord adds to the church. It's a spiritual work. And God's Spirit has revealed to Simon Peter of old that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus commends Simon Peter for his spiritual understanding. But this church is not a man-made institution. It's a spiritual church. And Simon Peter confessed this very fact. So the origin of the true church that Jesus Christ founded is spiritual. It is not a combination of man's initiative or man's persuasions or man's developments. Consider the main Christian denominations of our day, and we can very simply note their doctrinal differences. And you'll find with all of these main denominations, these Christian denominations of our day, that their roots go back to a man, for some, a woman. The Methodist Church was started by the Wesley brothers in 1744. The Plymouth Brethren movement was started by J.N. Darby, 1820. The Presbyterian Church has its founder in John Calvin, 1541. The Church of England, or the Anglican Church, was founded by King Henry VIII in 1534. King Henry VIII wanted to divorce his present wife, Catherine of Spain. And the Catholic Church wouldn't allow him to divorce his wife. So he decided to start his own church, the Church of England, that he might trade in his old model wife for a new model by the name of Anne Boleyn. So he started his own church. He was still Catholic to the core, but it was simply called the Church of England. It wasn't anything different from the Catholic Church. In fact, King Henry VIII died a Catholic. The Congregational Church was founded in 1602. The Salvation Army was founded by Catherine and William Booth in 1865. The Roman Catholic Church was founded by Roman Emperor Constantine in 313 AD. The Lutheran Church was founded by Martin Luther in 1530. The Churches of Christ was founded by Alexander Campbell in 1811. The Christian Missionary Alliance Church was founded by A.B. Simpson in 1897. The Charismatic Pentecostal Movement was founded by a man by the name of Charles Parham in 1906. The Baptist Church. Who founded the Baptist? Who founded the Baptist Church? Well, we have no founder outside of the person of Jesus Christ. And we believe, as C.H. Spurgeon of old, we believe that the Baptists are the original Christians. We did not commence our existence at the Reformation. We were reformers before Luther and Calvin were born. We never came from the Church of Rome, for we were never in it. We have an unbroken line up to the apostles themselves. We've always existed from the very days of Christ. And our principles, sometimes veiled and forgotten, like a river which may travel underground for a little season, have always had honest and holy adherents. Persecuted alike by Romanists and Protestants of almost every sect, yet there has never existed a government holding Baptist principles which persecuted others. Nor I believe any body of Baptists ever held to be right to put the conscience of others under the control of man. We've ever been ready to suffer, as our martyrdoms will prove. But we are not ready to accept any help from the state, to prostitute the purity of the bride of Christ to any allegiance with government. And we will never make the church, although the queen, the despot over the consciences of men. So C.H. Spurgeon believed that there has always been a people that have held true to Bible doctrine down through the ages. And you'll find with all the major denominations of our day, they stem back to a man. But what about the Baptist Church? That's my question to you tonight. Well, the church that Jesus Christ founded is a spiritual church. It's a church made up of people that have confessed Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And thirdly this evening, this church that Jesus Christ founded, which He promised perpetuity, He promised that will continue down through the ages. If the Methodist Church is the Church of Jesus Christ, well, that was founded in 1744. What happened for 1600 years since the days of the Apostles? If the Church of England was the Church that Jesus Christ founded, well, what happened for 1400 years? If the Pentecostal Charismatic Church is the true Church of Jesus Christ, well, where's the Church been for the last 1800 years? If the Presbyterian Church is the church that Jesus Christ founded, well, where has the church been for some 1400 years? So Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus Christ promised perpetuity to His church. He promised there will always be a people that will adhere to Bible doctrine. If we go back to Matthew chapter 16, I'd like for us to note thirdly this evening, this church that Jesus Christ promised this perpetuity is not only a church that is made up of people that have confessed Jesus Christ as Saviour, but secondly, this church is not a man-made organisation stemming back to some man or some woman, but this is also a spiritual church, secondly, and thirdly this evening, I'd like for us to note, this church that Jesus Christ promised perpetuity and progression is a church in which He is the head. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. There in verse number 18 it reads in Matthew 16, I will build my church. This church that will continue down through the ages and has continued to this day is a church that is not only made up of people that have confessed Jesus Christ as Saviour, a people that have spiritual life, but secondly, a people that have a spiritual line. It's a spiritual church. It's not a man-made organisation. But thirdly this evening, this church that Jesus Christ promised perpetuity that will continue to prevail down through the ages has a spiritual leader in Jesus Christ. He is the head of His church. This church that belongs to Jesus Christ, that He has promised to build, belongs to Him. He is the owner of this church. And the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. Peter, upon this rock, upon this foundation of your confession of me as the Saviour, I will build my church. It will be a spiritual entity and it will be my church. I will build my church. So this rock was not Peter as the Roman Catholics would believe. The Catholics believe in apostolic succession. The Roman Catholic Church stems back to Peter, the first pope. We as Bible-believing Christians believe in doctrinal succession. That there will always be a people that will hold true to the Word of God. God will always have His witness. C.H. Spurgeon believed that. Any blood-bought child of God that believes the Bible will believe that. And the head of this church that Jesus Christ founded is Christ Himself. He is the rock, not Peter. And Jesus Christ did not say that Peter is the foundation of the church. He said, I will build my church. The church is spiritual in nature, made up of those that have confessed Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Jesus Christ is the head of this church that will perpetuate, will continue to exist down through the ages. Note there in Ephesians chapter 2, please. Are you still with me? Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 20, please. It reads, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. And note there in chapter 5 of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse number 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. So this church that Jesus Christ founded has its headship in Jesus Christ. Its headship is not in a man. Its headship is not in an individual or an organization. Jesus Christ is the head of His church that Jesus promised will perpetuate, will continue to exist down through the ages. Note there in Matthew chapter 28, please, for a moment. Matthew chapter 28, the last part of verse 20, it reads, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus Christ promised His presence amongst His people. The New Testament church has no hierarchy. Is not governed by some man-made organization. The chief shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has under-shepherds that are to guide and feed the flock of God. There in 1 Peter chapter 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 1 to 4, it reads, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder or a pastor, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So God promises every faithful pastor that will diligently feed the flock of God, taking the oversight, being an example, not lording over the people, being an example to the people, feeding and loving and overseeing the people of God. God promises every God-ordained pastor a crown, a special crown, because we are just under-shepherds as pastors. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. He is the head of the church. I am not the head of the church. I'm just the under-shepherd of the church. I take my orders from the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will build my church. It's my church. I am the head. And every godly pastor understands that he is just the under-shepherd. under the head, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ promised perpetuity and progression to His church that is made up of people that have confessed Jesus Christ as their Saviour. His church, which is spiritual, not man-made. It doesn't stem back to a man. It stems back to Jesus Christ Himself. And Jesus Christ promised perpetuity and progression to His church in which He is the head. And last but not least this evening, the Lord Jesus founded one church. And note there in Matthew chapter 16 once again, in verse number 18, that He said, "I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The true church of Jesus Christ will prevail in spite of the attacks of the devil. A mark of a New Testament church, the church that Jesus Christ founded, is a church that is persecuted down through the ages. That's a mark of a church that has its headship in Jesus Christ, that is made up of those that have received Jesus Christ as their Saviour. A spiritual church, not a man-made organization. It will endure through the ages, through persecution. There will always be a people that will stand true to the teachings of Jesus Christ, that were passed on to the apostles by the Lord Jesus Himself. And down through history there has always been a people that have stood true to Bible doctrine. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And Jesus said, "I will build My church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." My church will continue down through the ages. And I just simply believe that. I just simply believe what Jesus has said, that He would bring into existence a church made up of those that have confessed Jesus Christ as Saviour, those that believe the Bible and will remain true to the Bible. And I just simply believe what Jesus said, that the gates of hell will not prevail against her. But she will prevail. There will always be a people that will hold true to Bible doctrine. These people will be evident by the persecution they will receive down through history. A mark of a true church that Jesus Christ founded is a church that was heavily persecuted for what they believed. And these Bible-believing Christians went by many names. They were given many names down through church history. But they held true to the teachings of the Scriptures. And as a result, they were persecuted. They were killed for their faith. And it's been well said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The New Testament church that Jesus Christ founded was a church that was persecuted for what they believed. What is the only group of people down through the ages that have been persecuted, yet they never persecuted a people for what they believed? Who were they? Well, I can assure you it wasn't the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church is responsible for the death of countless Bible-believing Christians down through the ages. She is truly the mother of harlots. And one historian said it's been estimated that some 50 million Christians died as martyrs during the Dark Ages between the years 426 AD to the 1400s. No less than 50 million Christians died for their faith. And the Roman Catholic Church burnt many of these Christians alive, charged them as heretics. What was their crime? They simply believed the Word of God. And they held true to the teachings of the Word of God. And what distinguished these believers? Their position on biblical baptism. For those that have received Jesus Christ as their Saviour. The Protestant Church, which we are not a part of, The Protestant churches, like the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church, were made up of men that came out of the Roman Catholic Church. They were protesters. So our roots don't go back to the Protestants. We are not Protestants. That's an insult to call me a Protestant. Don't call me a Protestant. Protestants drowned Bible-believing Christians. Catholics burnt Bible-believing Christians on the stake. Protestants weren't as nasty in action, but they were in mind. They drowned our spiritual forefathers. Bible-believing Christians down through the ages were hounded. They were tortured and killed. What was their crime? Loyalty to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And the chief mark by which they were known was that they believed that a person must receive Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And upon their confession of Jesus Christ as Saviour, they are to be scripturally baptised by immersion. As opposed to the Roman Catholic Church with its development. And there in 416 AD, they formally instituted infant baptism. And it was from that very century these Bible-believing Christians were known as Anabaptists. They were called Anabaptists because they opposed the baptism of the state church, the Roman Catholic Church. And they were charged as being heretics, for they wouldn't accept infant baptism. They wouldn't accept that you had to be sprinkled as a baby to be a part of the Roman Catholic Church, the universal church, the state church. And they were nicknamed many, many names. They were known for by many different names, but the most common name is Anabaptist, because they oppose the baptism of the Roman Catholic Church. And in time, that Anna got dropped, and they were simply called Baptist people. And what makes us distinct as Bible-believing Baptists is that we are people of the book. We are doctrinal people. We've been persecuted for our stand upon the Word of God. To be a Baptist means you believe the Bible. It identifies us to Bible doctrine. And the most common name down through church history of those people that were willing to die for the cause of Jesus Christ, they were known as Anabaptists. They were known as Baptist people. They went by many names. Some were referred to by the very area where they lived, and some were referred to by key men that led certain groups, but ultimately they were referred to as the Anabaptist. They wouldn't accept the Roman Catholic form of baptism. They were against the baptism of the state church. So Jesus said that my church that I will build, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The true church that Jesus Christ founded is a persecuted church. And there is no group of people that have held to Baptist doctrine, Bible doctrine, that have persecuted others for their belief. In fact, if you study your church history, you'll find that it was the Baptist people there in Rhode Island, America, that were the ones to initiate religious liberty. The people could worship God as they chose. That no person ought to be constrained to worship against their own conscience. It was the Baptist people that gave the world religious liberty. That's our heritage. Because the Baptist people were not the persecuted. The Baptist people were the persecuted. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So which church did Jesus Christ initiate? Which church did Jesus Christ claim as his own? Well, here in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 to 18, we have the principle of perpetuity. We have the principle of progression. This church will grow. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And this church will perpetuate, will continue to exist down through the ages, said Jesus Christ. And this church will continue to grow because it's a church made up of those that have place their faith in Jesus Christ the Savior. It's a spiritual church. Not a man-made organization. Its headship is Jesus Christ. And via the medium of persecution, Jesus said, it will grow. It will perpetuate. So Jesus Christ promised perpetuity and progression for His church. I believe that Metropolitan Baptist Church is an example of a Bible-believing church. I have no doubt in my mind. If there was another church that reflected closer to what the Scriptures teach, I'd be there, not here. As I study my Bible, I see some marks of a New Testament church. Now, perpetuity and progression, that's what I want you to remember this evening. We'll look at some other characteristics in the weeks to come. But I want you to remember this evening, perpetuity and progression. Jesus said, my church will continue down through the ages. There will always be a people that will hold true to Bible doctrine. And we believe without shame that we as Baptist people follow in that line. That our spiritual forefathers were true to the Word of God. We are not Protestants. We didn't come from the Church of Rome. We are Bible-believing Christians that believe the Bible. And Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Consider the acid test of Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 to 18. I'd like to encourage you this evening to consider your church, the church that Jesus Christ founded. Do you appreciate your church? Do you love the church? Are you faithful to the church that Jesus Christ founded? Now, if you don't believe this is the church that Jesus Christ founded, well, there's an exit door right there, and there's an exit door around the back. Go ahead and you go and find the New Testament church. But if you believe this is the New Testament church, and if you believe we continue in the Apostles' doctrine, if you believe that Jesus has honored His Word, that we have the Word of God today, and we are people of the book, let's love the church. Let's get behind the church. Let's be loyal to the church. Let's serve in the church because this is not a man-made organization. The Church of England is a man-made organization. The Presbyterian Church is a man-made organization. The Methodist Church is a man-made organization. The Church, the Christian Church Alliance is a man-made organization. The Pentecostal Church is a man-made organization. The Baptist Church is the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's love the church. Our distinction is the Word of God. We are people of the book. And I'll say more about that in the weeks to come. So I trust that you'll come back next Sunday night and we'll note some further marks of a church, the church that Jesus Christ founded. But for tonight, perpetuity and progression. Perpetuity, progressing. Let's pray.